Here's what everyone's getting wrong about video podcasting and YouTube as a strategy.
Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a show helping entrepreneurs with podcasts turn a slow growth show into a rapidly growing positive ROI podcast.
Hello, I'm Ty Gaucher.
And I'm Anthony Wineri.
And in this episode, you'll discover why switching to YouTube often fails to reduce the real friction in podcast growth and how it can actually make things harder.
The hidden pitfalls of the just add video mindset, including how it dilutes your quality, drains your energy, and derails your focus.
And finally, when does video actually make sense, and how many of our clients hit massive podcast growth without using YouTube, but instead focusing on solo episodes, clear targeting, and a lean content strategy instead? Welcome back to another Monday episode, where we dive deep and explore the hidden reasons why your podcast isn't growing or monetizing as fast as you like, and address the uncomfortable truth around what's really holding you back from taking your show to that next level. So we can't hide from what is going on in the world right now. Video podcasts in the form of YouTube are becoming more popular, and there are tons of people now promoting it.
And tons of people also watching and listening to podcasts on YouTube. There are tons of big promises that YouTube will change the game for so many podcasters. Now, the thing is, some are true.
Some are false.
And some are just plain dead wrong.
So the question becomes, should you jump on the YouTube trend?
Or will jumping onto this trend add more complexity to your already busy life and ruin your chances of building any type of success when it comes to you building a large audience, because your attention is so divided and being pulled in so many different directions?
What is actually going on, and what is the fastest path to you building a highly engaged podcast that gives more than it takes, one that drives the highest level of ROI for your personal brand and for your business?
So the question becomes, why would someone even want to start a channel in the first place?
Well, here's what the typical argument looks like for why you should switch from an audio-only show to video on YouTube specifically.
A big part of this, Tyke, I have to say, is kind of people talking about discoverability. Meaning, right, when it comes to podcasts, there's no algorithm, quote-unquote, in place that's constantly sharing your podcast, trying actively to find new listeners for your audio show. Now, compare this to TikTok, Instagram, or YouTube. If you post a video, they have built-in mechanics where essentially their algorithm goes out there and tries to find a new audience for your content.
Whereas compared to audio podcasts, it's static, pretty much, right? We don't really have an algorithm like this or anywhere near as advanced trying to push out our show to more people. Now, with the news and noteworthy page on Apple Podcasts or the kind of like headliners in the respective categories when you go on a podcast app, but again, nothing near as advanced as the YouTube algorithm. Really, it's not really comparable. And the point that's made is if you want to grow a podcast, you have to grow your audience somewhere else and channel that traffic to your show because of this.
Hence why most would try to build an audience, let's say on Instagram or YouTube or different platforms, and then try to channel their audience to their podcast. But I think what's important to explore is, what is true? Well, it's true that you don't really have an active algorithm that's sharing your podcast to new listeners every single day. It does suck when it comes to podcasting. Like if there was an algorithm that could do this, that would be incredible for so many people. And when it comes to YouTube, if you do have a new video that, let's say, pops off, then yes, you can have a specific episode that gains massive traction because, again, you have YouTube sharing your content, pushing out in order for the video to get more views. Those things are actually very valid points in terms of the difference between, let's say, posting a YouTube video versus posting a podcast. That's just audio.
Now, the other argument that's made against audio-only podcasts is that episodes only get listened to within the first 7 days of publishing. But with YouTube, it can consistently get more and more views over time. What do you think about that?
This is also one of those things where it's like, it's partially true. So some of it's true and other bits aren't true. So what do I mean? The parts that aren't true is, let's say, for example, you do have a YouTube video that does pop off. I think in some kind of way, because how the algorithm is built, after a month of that video originally popping off, the algorithm is still actively sharing that content to new listeners. Maybe you have the recommended feed and your podcast episode has been recommended. So yeah, in a way you do have an algorithm that again is pushing out content even past the 7 days of it being uploaded. Whereas with podcasts, in order for you to find new listeners for your old episodes, really, it means like a new listener has to first discover your podcast as a whole by them searching on Apple and Spotify organically, and then have to go through your back catalog. It's not like a specific episode is constantly being shared to them. It's more like they discover your show, go through your back catalog, and then discover other episodes. Whereas with YouTube, all those past episodes are constantly being pushed to find an audience.
Right. So, you know, in terms of whether this is true or not, the main narrative being pushed isn't fully reflective of the longevity of podcast episodes. But it is true that, again, there is more shareability on YouTube. But speaking of narratives, what is not being shared here and what are you not seeing? At the end of the day, the overall goal is to grow a highly engaged and active audience who loves our stuff, becomes super fans, and eventually buys it too. Now, if you have a video that's being pushed by the algorithm and new viewers all of a sudden find your podcast, that's a great thing, but only under a certain condition.
Now, let's say you don't have a clear positioning, a clear targeting, or a strong content strategy that keeps listeners coming back for more. The show won't grow long term.
Which is the same thing as if you have a viral podcast episode that gets loads of views, but if the show isn't optimized for retention and getting those listeners coming back for more, then it won't grow long term.
And as we've spoken about before on so many podcasts, everyone's so obsessed with exposure, exposure, exposure. And that's exactly what feels very sexy about YouTube. It's essentially, quote unquote, an additional channel for you to get exposure.
But exposure alone won't help you build a highly engaged audience who loves your shit and will buy your stuff. It doesn't actually solve the issue of long-term podcast growth. It just means you'll have more fluctuations in downloads per episode, some that do really well but others that tank, more inconsistency, and you won't be able to build a constant stream of long-term fans. And if you don't have that, then you won't really be able to monetize anyway. And this is the spot that most people who end up switching find themselves in.
They switch thinking that more exposure will solve their growth issues, only to have the same issues they faced around audience growth, which is slower growth, some episodes doing better, and not knowing why things aren't working even after years they've invested into their podcast.
And it's because they're so focused on one piece of audience growth, which is getting more reach, but they forget they still need a powerful content strategy to keep those listeners hooked and coming back for more.
Now, here's another thing that doesn't get shared. You do have a great discoverability for podcasts. Apple Podcasts on Spotify.
Big up Apple. Spotify.
They do have search engines. So like, it's not like people aren't able to discover your podcast. They can. And actually, it's one of the only ways people discover new shows, right?
Yep.
All you have to do, and all we have to do as podcasters, is use what we call podcast SEO. So we're able to rank on page one for the main keywords and search terms new listeners use to find shows like yours.
And it's way easier to rank on Apple Podcasts on page one versus YouTube, because not a lot of people know about ranking on page one on Apple, and you're not competing against everyone on the entire platform, which means that when you rank on page one, you reach thousands of new listeners every single month.
This is how so many of our clients have been able to grow their shows into thousands and tens of thousands of monthly downloads and generate tens of thousands of dollars from their show after having their show stuck with slow and steady growth for years.
So there is discoverability for podcasts through data-driven podcast SEO. It's just not something people know how to implement into their shows. There's not a bug in audio podcasts. It's just a skill set you have to learn that most people ignore. And once you have it, you've got it as a skill set and it works really, really well.
But then again, even after hearing about podcast SEO and discoverability, the YouTube advocates aren't done. You know, they've got another argument off their sleeve.
Wow.
One that sounds even more compelling on the surface. They'll shift to a conversation, not about the algorithm or the search engine, but something that sounds like basic economics.
Supply and demand. This is where they pull out what seems like the most logical part of all. They'll tell you it's not about discovery, but supply and demand, because they'll tell you that the supply for audio content is going up, but the demand is staying the same. The demand meaning people are not listening to more podcasts as it's part of their routine, which stays the same. Like if you go to the gym 4 times per week and listen to podcasts, then it doesn't increase how much time you listen to podcasts per day. Or if you're going on a walk or cleaning up, those are things that are not going to increase over time. It's just a fixed amount of time in your routine. Whereas presumably the number of hours people are spending on YouTube is increasing, which we don't know, but people are presuming it. And the argument is created that with video, both supply and demand are going up, which is a better situation compared to audio.
And really, when we say better situation, that's kind of looking at if you have more people who are watching YouTube videos And then you also have more of those individuals who are watching YouTube videos, consuming more YouTube content. That, of course, in terms of you being a YouTuber or a YouTube podcaster, those all seem to be the positive metrics you would like to think that would create a situation that makes growing your YouTube channel easier. More people watching and spending time watching more.
But here's why this logic is totally flawed. So it's kind of like saying Starbucks can't grow because people only drink 2 to 3 cups of coffee per day, which, by the way, that's a hell of a lot. I'm capped at 1 personally. The supply of coffee shops is going up, but the demand is staying the same because people's caffeine routines are fixed.
The issue here is, it's under the assumption that Starbucks is just going to stick with having the same 1,000 stores, but it's not. It's going to expand. So if it goes from having 1,000 stores to 35,000 stores, then again, it just increases the total number of people who are customers for Starbucks.
And this logic confuses individual consumption patterns with total market demand because, yeah, one person only drinks X amount of cups of coffee per day, but teenagers become coffee drinkers. Tea drinkers convert to coffee. That was actually me a couple of years ago. New countries develop coffee cultures and people start going out for coffee more who get more into coffee or, you know, get a job that is out rather than at home.
And the same is true for podcasts. And it's like, on one hand, yes, one person's listening time might be static, meaning, hey, look, when I go to the gym, sometimes I listen to podcasts. If I'm on a commute, I'll listen to a podcast. And those things and activities are essentially fixed. However, there are tons of new people who discover podcasts every single day. The younger generation are growing up with podcasts as default, whereas for us, we didn't grow up with podcasts as a thing that was like the thing to listen to. International markets are just discovering podcasts. It's getting bigger in places like Australia, in Europe, even in Africa. Like all over the world, podcasting is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So again, people are shifting their time from listening to radio and music to podcasts. But what most people are doing is seeing a single tree, individual listening habits, and then declaring that the forest can't grow. But the forest is growing just by adding more trees, not by making each tree taller.
And this is very ironic because this actually defeats the YouTube argument itself. Because if consumption time is really fixed, then YouTube's growth must also be capped by the same logic. But of course it's not, because markets grow by adding more users, not just by increasing individual usage.
But here's where things get really interesting. While YouTube pushers are busy trying to convince you with faulty economics, they're conveniently leaving out some crucial difference between these platforms. Differences that actually matter to your business, your sanity, and the bottom line when it comes to time, money, and effort invested in these two platforms. The types of audiences who consume video versus audio content are vastly different. The competition on video podcasts is fierce because you aren't just competing against podcasters, you're competing against every single creator on the YouTube platform. That includes Mr. Beast. Compared to podcasting, where you're essentially competing against other podcasters in your space, the attention of podcast listeners is focused and there's no algorithm pushing your listeners onto someone else's channel. Like, when was the last time you listened to a podcast episode, got distracted, and then found yourself 3 videos in on a totally different podcaster's podcast? Whereas on YouTube, you can start watching one video, you get recommended a bunch of different videos off the bat, or like, I don't know, someone running ads on a YouTuber's YouTube, or the recommender sidebar. My point is, it's very easy to become distracted when you're watching a YouTube video in comparison to having a focused attention on podcasts.
Compared to podcasting, you're competing against other podcasters in the space, and the intention of listeners is focused, and there's no algorithm pushing your listeners onto someone else's channel. They actively have to decide to leave your show to go to someone else intentionally, not just randomly if they find themselves in a YouTube wormhole. Which is funny, in a paradoxical way, because the benefits of the algorithm are also its downfall, and the fact podcasts don't have a crazy algorithm is actually a benefit for you if you have an audio-only show.
So what does this mean for you as the podcaster? Well, it means that the value per viewer is way higher compared to YouTube viewers. Why? Because podcast listeners will consume way more of your content, spend way more time with you compared to a YouTube viewer. Simply put, When it comes to audio-only podcasts, and we look at the completion rate, meaning how much on average does a listener consume of your content? How much are they listening to your content? On average, it's like 60 to 70%. Top shows are getting 80, 90-plus percent, which is huge. If you have an hour-long show and the majority of people are getting to, like, you know,
40 minutes plus.
It's huge. That's a huge amount of time to spend with you. But why is it so high? Well, reasons we've mentioned before, people listen to podcasts while they're multitasking, driving, walking, cleaning.
Yeah, normally people choose a podcast to listen to for the activity they're going to do, i.e. on the walk they're going to go on. And when they do that, they normally commit to the show.
Yeah.
And they're locked in for the whole hour or the whole duration of their walk or exercise.
Now, compare this with YouTube's completion rate, which on average is around 10 to 20%.
If you're lucky.
But why is it way lower? Well, number one, it's easier for people to click away. There's just way more distractions on YouTube. You're competing with other people's thumbnails and also their next recommended video. Literally, as soon as they finish your video podcast, they're going to be recommended a bunch of other people's channels.
So YouTube and the way it's set up and the way people consume it, people are kind of being drawn away from your video in many ways. Whereas with podcasting, people are kind of being drawn in. Like, the gravity is working for you with podcasting, whereas you could argue that it's working against you with video platforms.
Now, if you want higher attention, a deeper connection with your audience, and way longer time people spent with your show, podcasting, meaning audio podcasts, are way more superior. And you know what? I had a cool, interesting call with a podcaster the other day. He was both on YouTube as well as audio, and his YouTube channel was getting around 7,000 downloads / views per month, which is, again, he was like, to me, I thought, okay, that seems good in comparison to his audio, which is getting about 100.
Yeah.
Now, he was fed up and annoyed because he was saying to me like, oh, I'm really annoyed that audio isn't growing and yada, yada, yada. And I was like, dude, why do you care so much if, like, you've got 7,000 views each month on YouTube? Like, why are you worrying that it's not working on audio? Why don't you just double down on YouTube?
Yeah.
He's getting 7,000 views, but when he looks at his retention time, it averages like 10 to 20%.
Oh, wow.
So for me, it wasn't making sense why he'd want to do the audio until he let me know about his consumption and completion rate.
Yeah.
And he mentioned how it's frustrating for him because he spends hours and hours and hours on the show. And yeah, it's great. He's getting these views, quote unquote. But if the majority of people literally aren't listening to it, and obviously, like, you know, barely anyone listening to it.
Yeah.
He didn't feel like it was worth it. It kind of felt like, yeah, these are vanity metrics. It feels good. But these aren't engaged listeners. These aren't people who are going to, like, buy my stuff. These aren't people who care about me and are following on every single word. Whereas with the podcast, even though I've got fewer viewers, my completion rate is way higher. And I feel like I get more of an ROI in terms of people actually consuming my stuff.
That's very interesting.
So look, you know, if you've got a YouTube channel, that could be a quick test that you can have a look at. Look at your retention time and just honestly ask yourself, how do I feel looking at my views for this episode in comparison to how much people actually consumed it?
And again, if it's good, why not double down? We're not against YouTube by any means. But it's just important to distinguish the behaviors and not lump them in as the same, but just with video. We've really covered that on YouTube, the behavior is people are in hunting mode. They're rapidly clicking through videos, checking thumbnails, reading comments, getting distracted by recommendations, and may give you 5 to 15 seconds before clicking away. Whereas with the podcast, people are in settling mode. So they've committed to listening while doing something else. They're not looking at their phone to be tempted by other options, generally speaking. They're patient because switching podcasts requires stopping what they're doing.
The question becomes, would you rather have 10,000 people glance at you for 3 minutes or 1,000 people who hang out with you for 45 minutes every single week? For a lot of business owners and experts selling high ticket services or building thought leadership, the answer is pretty obvious. And the truth is, you don't need a million views. You just need hundreds of the right people who actually need to hear your message, who trust you as an expert, and are ready to buy when you make an offer. And that's why the quality of the listeners you're trying to attract matters way more than the quantity of views. One engaged podcast listeners is essentially worth like 30 YouTube views in terms of business results.
Now, we have held off tackling the biggest argument of all. It's personally the one that I hear the most. And it's very, very simple.
But Tig, look, I hear what you're saying, but you know, with YouTube, it's just another platform where I can get exposure, you know? So why don't I just repurpose the content? And I don't really lose anything from that, right? I just put the content on there. If it does well, great. If it doesn't do well, who cares?
There we go. This is what most podcasters think. They think, well, I'm already creating the content. I might as well just film myself while recording, upload it to YouTube, and I'll get so much further and spread my message so much wider with minimal extra effort. And, you know, this can be thought of as working smarter, not harder, which is an attractive idea because you're already doing the work of creating content and YouTube is free to use. You could potentially reach millions more people. And it really feels like maximizing your effort by getting content on multiple platforms. And other successful podcasters seem to be doing it, which kind of creates a little bit of pressure to get on it as well.
Well, look, the reason why this is so flawed is because with YouTube videos and podcasts audio only, there are basically two very different mediums with two very different consumption behavior. It's like expecting a novel to work as a movie script without making any adaptations. Just because both tell stories doesn't mean they will work the exact same way. Expecting to grow without much effort just by repurposing things is essentially wishful thinking. Like, it's like, it sounds too good to be true because it is too good to be true. Like, how long have we known about clips and repurposing content on a bunch of different platforms like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube? Doesn't really matter. Everyone would have massive audiences on all these different platforms, but it never works.
What really happens is death by a thousand cuts, which you may have heard this before, actually refers to an ancient form of torture where no single cut is fatal, but the cumulative effect of that thousand cuts is devastating. And it's used in business, not as a torture method, but it describes how lots of minor inefficiencies or distractions over time really turn into major failures and can be the cause of the absolute hindrance of success.
So in video, how this applies is podcasters thinking, hey, look, I'm just going to add my camera, but watch how quickly just add camera multiplies into thousands of different cuts. Every small addition of your workflow compounds. So what this looks like is, hey, you go from just filming yourself, worrying about the lighting,
checking your appearance,
ensuring the background looks professional,
being conscious of eye contact with the camera,
editing out awkward visual moments,
creating thumbnails,
optimizing your show's title differently than audio,
managing comments on another platform,
tracking your analytics on another dashboard,
and the rest. Each cut seems small, but together they bleed you dry of time and energy. And if you're thinking, oh, I wouldn't worry about that stuff, then that's also an issue, because if you're going to do YouTube properly and actually get results on it, you should be worried or thinking about how to make these things good if you want to succeed. And if you don't, it means you're making the mistake of thinking it's just going to be easy or that you can just succeed without actually doing the work required for this platform to work.
And again, that's more time, more energy spent in the direction that isn't going to get you the results you want. Whereas if you think about the power of focus, right? Focus is like a laser. Concentrated on one point, it cuts through steel. Spread across a bunch of different surfaces, it barely warms them up. When you split your attention between audio and video, you're doing the exact same thing. When you split your attention between audio and video, your audio quality suffers because you're thinking about how you look.
And your video quality suffers because you're optimizing for audio listeners.
Your growth strategy becomes diluted. You're neither great at your podcast or great at the video channel.
And ultimately, you become mediocre at two things instead of excellent at one. And your internal stress skyrockets with this because you're now not just worried about download numbers, you're worried about views, click-through rates, your public YouTube numbers, and whether that weird face you made at minute 23 will become a meme.
Now here's a simple but powerful question you should ask yourself. Am I adding video because I genuinely believe it will serve my audience better and I have the resources to do it well? Or am I adding video because I'm hoping it will solve my growth problems without addressing the real issues that I haven't mastered the fundamentals of building an engaged audience?
Having spoken to thousands of podcasters over the years between myself and Anthony and worked closely and directly with hundreds, we tend to find that the reason podcasters get onto YouTube as well is either just because they think everyone's doing it so they have to do it, or because they think that what they've done so far hasn't worked. For example, you know, getting big guests on the show, posting on social media, stuff isn't working. So this becomes the next solution and it becomes the next way of fixing the problem. But the issue with this is if you're in a spot where your efforts to get more reach are not working, i.e. again, you know, you've tried getting big guests on your show and your downloads haven't moved, then that doesn't mean, okay, the next one is going to work, the YouTube reach strategy is going to work. It actually means you have to change your approach to podcast growth and stop viewing it as just exposure and reach tactics you need to grow, and instead focus on overall strategy for attracting more listeners and getting them to come back for more. After working closely with so many podcasters, we really have found that what's stopping people from growing their show and monetizing it is not fancy tactics. It's not, oh, you need to get on the next YouTube, or, oh, you need to try this new podcast guesting pitch. It's the foundational overall marketing, growth, and monetization way of thinking, strategy, and perspectives that's missing. It's the big picture of what you have to do to grow a show, and really the boring fundamentals that everyone wants to skip.
An audio-only podcast that's been struggling to grow for years because it doesn't have a clear targeting and a clear content strategy to keep listeners hooked won't all of a sudden blow up on YouTube. And this is something that people mistake. Again, they think like, if your show doesn't have a clear targeting, you just switching platforms and posting more on YouTube doesn't fix those issues. The principles of audience growth and monetization remains exact same on both platforms, which is number one, you have to have a clear target audience around who you're trying to reach.
You have to make targeted content for them to get them coming back for more.
You have to package your content in a most attractive way to attract way more of the right listeners.
You have to deliver on the promise you gave consistently over time and be very disciplined to not stray from doing that in every single piece of content.
And you have to create a product or service that solves their problem on a deeper level.
And then present that product as exactly what they need and create very low friction paths for them to buy your things through your content.
These are the steps you have to take on every single platform. It doesn't really matter if it's TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Like, these are just the fundamental principles and steps you have to go through. And this is what so many podcasters are missing. This is the strategy piece that everyone wants to skip over and hope is going to be easy to win.
But this is one of the many reasons why so many podcasts, both video and audio, end up failing, because they get bogged down in the wrong details for years trying to solve the wrong problem of exposure or reach, only to stay stuck with a slow growth show that fails to monetize. And then it gets blamed on the platform rather than looking inwards. And some people don't know better, life gets busy, and we want to have a good reason as to why we failed, because it makes things more bearable. The reasons of our podcasts have bad discoverability, or there's no algorithm pushing the content, or most people are talking about YouTube now, become convenient excuses.
It's way easier to push the blame onto something else, using that as essentially a scapegoat, than to face the real hard truth. The truth is there are tens of thousands, very, very successful audio-only podcasts. People who have grown their audience organically into the millions. These are normal people who didn't have an audience to begin with. They were just audio podcasters who didn't have some magical algorithm pushing their content, and they still managed to grow an empire out of that. So what things did they do differently that maybe you're missing? What mindset did they have around their podcast growth that allowed them to grow so big? And is it possible that they had a better strategy for growing a podcast, something you skipped over because you were too focused on the next shiny object that promised to alleviate the immediate pain of slow podcast growth?
Now, this is the deep layered stuff that needs to be fixed regardless of audio or video or any platform at all. They can both be equally as hard and equally as easy. And we just don't want podcasters lying to themselves as to why the show isn't growing, and then investing even more time into YouTube or just anything new with high hopes that it will change everything, only to meet the same fate.
And for us, we recently had a discussion in our coaching program. We essentially asked the question of, hey, what's going on with YouTube? What's been your experience?
Yep.
And the results were essentially this. The majority of people who tried stopped for one of three reasons. Number one, it added way more to their workload and it stressed them out, as it was one more thing to think about. They shared that this video element, knowing that people will see it, made their recording longer, more stressful, and less natural because, again, it's a new skill trying to present to a camera versus just recording on a podcast by yourself without all of the visual elements to the show.
Secondly, the ROI was low, that it was worse for them as they felt like they were failing on two platforms, but now the rest of the world could see they were failing. Audio stats are private, whereas on YouTube, anyone can see your views and subscribers.
And then finally, they just didn't have the time, the money, or the resources to make YouTube videos work. As some would say, it's a different beast.
Now, there were a few people who were doing it and getting great results, and this was the minority, but it does happen. And again, it's important to share both sides of the coin. We're not against video, or we're not against YouTube, and we have clients who have smashed it on both. And the thing is, people who are winning with video podcasts have gone all in. They have additional budget to hire thumbnail designers, a new camera, proper equipment, a professional setup, potentially more team to hire with production or even presentation. And they're a video-first podcast, meaning the experience of the show is best experienced when watching, not listening, which, like we mentioned before, is an entirely different skill set.
So yeah, so like if me and Tiger seem biased to audio-only podcasts, the truth is we probably are a bit biased just because so many of our clients who are experts and entrepreneurs who are strapped for time, they do add video, and the outcome has always been it complicates things, it dilutes their focus. They essentially give way more and are just worrying more about the podcast when it comes to building their YouTube. They end up giving it up anyways to refocus on audio-only podcast. And then, of course, we help them fix what's been stopping them from growing. Then all of a sudden, the need to want video doesn't make as much sense because they found success on the main platform, which is why they started their podcast in the first place.
Which begs the question, right? If you, listening right now, could grow a highly engaged audience and your podcast was exploding and growing every single month and making you loads of money, would you be thinking about YouTube? And would you be thinking about adding video? Or would you stay focused on honing your craft and growing your audio podcast that takes less time and energy, less resources, fewer things to think about, but builds a high value and quality audience who love your show, buy your stuff, and listen to more of the content you've worked hard to create?
So look, based on everything we've shared so far, here's an honest perspective on when it makes sense to add YouTube video to your podcast. Situation one, you've already mastered audio. If you already build a thriving audio podcast with consistent growth, engaged listeners, and you figure out monetization, then expanding to YouTube is a very smart move if that's the direction you want to go in. You've proven you understand fundamentally how to build an audience around a particular topic, and you have the bandwidth to try something new.
Now, another situation is when your content is inherently visual. So if you're teaching visual skills, for example, design, you're showing workouts or you're cooking or something like that, then showing visualizations or just basically being on video actually might be really helpful or even essential to your content from day one.
So look, if you do have the budget to hire a video editor to do it at a very good rate, a thumbnail designer, and possibly a videographer, or you genuinely enjoy the video creation process and have time spared to invest into that, then again, video can be extremely powerful in terms of something to add to the podcast.
Ultimately, the mindset you need to win with video is to treat it as a completely different medium, not just podcasting with a camera.
Be willing to learn YouTube-specific skills, such as thumbnails.
Understand that you're competing with entertainment, not just education.
And finally, be prepared to invest a significant amount of time or money into this new venture.
If after listening to all of this, if you just want to find out for yourself, then go for it. Explore video and see. And who knows, it might work out better for you, maybe for the reasons above. But if you find yourself in the same spot, 6 months from now, or even 12 months now, there's no need to feel bad letting it go and regaining focus on your audio podcast growth. Sometimes we need to try things to fully understand why they don't work. And the key is being honest about your results and being willing to pivot when something just isn't serving your bigger goals.
So again, that really is our way of saying, like, yeah, of course, we can say all these things, share our experience, and you might still have that itch to start a video podcast and see for yourself.
Yeah.
Go and do that. And don't judge yourself or don't feel bad based on the results. You went for it, you've seen, you've learned from that. Look, the bottom line is this, right? YouTube is neither inherently good or bad. It is just a tool. Unlike any other tool, they can work great if it's used for the right people for the right job. It's really who's using it and how it's being used. The problem is when people grab this tool of YouTube, they're just hoping it's going to magically fix all of their growth problems. It's essentially using it as a tactic rather than an overall strategy. And audio podcasts struggling to grow, once again, just won't all of a sudden just blow up when you add YouTube. A YouTube channel also doesn't need just explode because you now all of a sudden become a podcaster. Success on either one of these platforms come from the same place. Understanding your audience deeply, creating content consistently, specifically for them, and showing up consistently with a clear strategy. Everything else is just noise.
So with that said, here are some deep and powerful questions to help you decide. Firstly, am I considering video because I've exhausted the growth potential of my audio podcast and need something new? Or am I hoping video will be the magic pill that fixes growth problems I haven't actually diagnosed?
Question two, do I have an extra 10 hours per week to dedicate to learning and implementing video content? If not, what am I willing to sacrifice to create that time?
Thirdly, if my podcast disappeared tomorrow, would I be devastated because I never gave it my full focus and effort? Or would I be at peace knowing I did everything possible to make it succeed on its original audio platform?
Question four, am I running towards something, meaning a clear vision for my video content, or am I running away from something, the discomfort of slow audio podcast growth?
And finally, if someone offered to 10x my current audio podcast downloads or give me 1,000 YouTube subscribers, which would move the needle more for my actual business goals?
So look, based on where you are right now, is video podcasting the next strategic step in your journey, or is it just another shiny object that seems great on the outside but isn't going to solve the real issues you might be facing?
The answer ultimately isn't in this episode. It's in your honest assessment of what you truly need to grow.